Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Whether you're tuning in on the radio side of our program in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, we're glad to have you with us. Thus joining us through Conversations Radio Network, as well as tuning in on the East Coast in Atlanta at 106liveradio.com. We're glad to have you all with us as well. Our next guest is Kimball Taylor. We're going to be speaking with Kimball not only about his journey as a journalist and an author, but also his newest book that is really fascinating. It's called The Coyotes Bicycle, The Untold Story of 7,000 Bicycles and the Rise of a Borderland Empire. If you're just now hearing about the book, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can get it for yourself, as well as stay connected with Kimball. But Kimball, hello to you and welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. You know, this book, I think, is so timely, but also I think it's so powerful in that it shares with us not only, I think, you know, issues that we've heard about, especially on the news these days or even in conversations with people around us, but also gives us a human aspect to these stories as well. I mean, the title of the book, again, The Coyote's Bicycle. I mean, what has it been like for you already, Kimball, to see the way that people are not only gravitating to the book, but also resonating with the stories that you're able to share?
You know, I didn't go into this book with any kind of political bent. I was just caught up in the story of the bicycles. And I think that allowed me to tell very real human stories of what's going on with migration and on the border. And I think because of that, we've gotten a great response. People relate to it.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Kimball, because I think that is I think, you know, so many times people feel almost forced to look at something through a particular lens. And I think, you know, just the curiosity, right, of these bicycles appearing. And, you know, the thing is, you know, as you share in the book, I mean, it is something that is sure to get people's attention, to make people think. I mean, how did you first start learning about the bicycles and their appearances?
Well, I was a freelance writer, and a lot of my work had to do with ocean and environmentally related issues. And I was going down to the border to do a piece on these car tires that would wash across the border on the Tijuana River every time it rained. And it was kind of it had this circularity to it because those tires actually originated in the U.S. And I was down there talking to a rancher who lived right on the border, and he was picking up hundreds of tires and putting them into this 40-foot dumpster he had. And we got to talking about the circularity of these tires, and he said, well, it's just like the bicycles. And I said, what are you talking about, bicycles? And he said, come over here. And we went around his barn, and he had this pile of, I don't know, hundreds and thousands of bicycles. He said he collected 2,000 in the last 6 months.
Wow.
And I said, where did they come from? He pointed up the hill at Mexico because Tijuana is 300 feet higher in elevation than the American Valley below. And he said, the Mexicans, they're coming down on bicycles. And just the sight of the pile of ownerless bicycles just caught me all wrapped up in it. It just lit my imagination, and I just wanted to know where they were going and how they got there and who put them there and where they came from before that. And that led me to the story that's central to The Coyote's Bicycle.
Right. And a big part of what you were able to realize that we're able to see in the book, Kimball, is the trust that you were able to develop. Talk to us about that because, you know, it's not easy to get these days to get anyone to trust you because it seems as though everyone seems to have their own agenda, their own motives of doing what they do, saying what they say. How did you do it, and what was it like for you to know that, you know, there were individuals who wanted to be able to tell their story?
Well, I basically had everything going against me. There was the rhetoric in the United States that made my Mexican contacts a little bit distrustful. There's the massive, unprecedented buildup in the border enforcement complex that really put people on their toes. I'm a U.S. citizen, and that also made some of my Mexican contacts a bit leery. So there was huge hurdles to overcome. But the truth is, there's just something about bicycles. They're a part of our childhood. They give us our first mobility in the world. They give us our first freedom of movement. And just the fun idea of migrants defeating the border complex on a simple bicycle made people laugh and guffaw, and they wanted to tell stories, and everyone wanted to add their little bit, and they wanted to talk about the bicycles that they rode and all aspects of it, because it might have been the most fun portion of their journeys.
Right. For sure. For sure. You know, there is another thing in chapter 10 of the book, Kimball, one of the stories that you're able to tell is about an individual that you call Romo. And it really shows, I think, how a lot of times, again, things that we don't necessarily think about, because, again, we're looking at the world through our own prism, our own, you know, lens, is that the conflicts that a lot of people have, even in how they themselves are seen, and recognizing that because one of the things that you pointed out about Romo was that depending on where he was, or you know, or who was talking about him, there was this own perception of him. What was that like for you to chronicle for us and to remind us all? Because I think no matter where you live, even here in the States, there are people who will look at you and make assumptions about you, will be able to see you and think certain things about you, whether they're true or not. What was it like for you to show through Romo how this is something that all of us are dealing with?
Well, you know, there's two characters that I think you might be thinking of. There's El Negro and there's El Indio. And El Indio was the young migrant at first who came to the border and figured out this way to get people across on bicycle. And another was my contact, El Negro. And I'm not sure which one you're thinking of.
You know, it might be... If his name was not Romo, it may have been, it might have been the second one then. Was that the one that? Well, I tell you what. I can do this because I had made a note of it in my book. I'll actually reread the portion and then maybe you can tell me which one it was. Okay. Oscar Romo. That's his name. It was on page 124 in chapter 10, and this is what he said to you. I have an identity problem. He said, in Mexico, the people call me gringo. In the U.S., they call me a Mexican. In Spain, they don't know what I am. He shrugged, lifting his hands from the wheel, and he went on, of course, to talk more about his journey from there. Does that ring a bell?
Yes, Oscar Romo is a... sorry about that. Yes, he is an amazing kind of leader on the border. He has investigated both environmental problems and problems associated with migration. He's an academic, and he gave me entree into this slum that's called Los Laureles, and it's 10 shacks, if you can imagine, foundations made of car tires, and he introduced me to this world, which is, it's a slum that you can look across the border and you can see the gleaming skyscrapers of San Diego. And people live there. People cross through that valley. It's a place where migrants come to the border and get stuck, never crossing. Some people say it's a stepping stone, but the fact that you can see the United States from this valley is sometimes shocking.
Right. For sure. And I think, you know, to what I was saying, you know, I think it just shows that even someone who's there to help, you know, and it really, you know, again, that was the parallel I was thinking about for, you know, for any of us today, that, you know, there are individuals that are out there that, you know, are seen different ways. As you were saying, even yourself, you know, being able, when it comes back to the issue of trust, you know, being able to have individuals that you could trust. And then, of course, when you are able to have that door open, though, Kimball, I think that is when we're able to kind of get more of, you know, a realistic view of why people do it, why they are willing to get on these bicycles not knowing where they're going to end up, but also once they get here, the uncertainty that awaits them. Talk to us about that and what that was like for you to be able to think about through their perspective.
Well, you know, in all of my other research and all of my other reading, the act of migration was cast in such desperate terms. There's other very great books that detail migration that is arduous and difficult and tragic. When I talked to migrants who rode bicycles, they loved it. They'd slap their leg and say, you know, that is just the best time ever. So it was very hard for me to square their stories with the other research that I had done. But I will tell you that the tragedy often happened here in the United States for these people once they had crossed. So it was a little difficult for me to jive the fun and the excitement of the bicycle crossing with what sometimes happened to these migrants afterward.
Right. Yeah. And we're going to talk more about that as well as, of course, the term coyote. We're going to talk about that as well. Campbell, for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome to our program today Campbell Taylor. He's a journalist and author. His newest book is called The Coyote's Bicycle, The Untold Story of 7,000 Bicycles and the Rise of a Borderland Empire. We've been talking with Campbell not only about this book and how he came to know about the bicycle, but also, of course, then to be able to share with us through this book. One of the things that we're able to see in the book as it progresses through, Campbell, is you have some of the individuals that were introduced to, one of them, asking, about becoming a coyote. You talk to us about that term and how that term came to you and what it represents.
Well, a coyote is a person who's in the business of smuggling migrants across the border. They're also called polleros, which a migrant is sometimes called a pollo, which is a chicken. So a pollero is kind of like a chicken herder. The coyote is the head of this operation. And one of the things that I learned, which was fascinating to me, is that there's an entire hierarchy and there's levels of job and job description in these enterprises. One of them was a guy called the gancho, and he was almost like a rodeo clown. He would hang out and get the attention of Border Patrol, and he would run off, and he would misdirect the Border Patrol in his direction while a group of migrants might be waiting in another place. And once the Border Patrol was out of sight, the coyote would, or the guía, the guide, would lead migrants across. There's a lookout guy. There's a guy who is the communication specialist. There is the levantón, or the pickup drivers. And I've been saying guy, but it's often women as well. They take these positions at all levels.
Right. And, one of the women, speaking of women that we're introduced to in the book, is Marta. Again, showing the human aspect of this. I mean, what was that like for you to be able to share a part of her story, Kimball, and to be able to allow us to see, again, not only the challenges that these adults were facing, but also sometimes their children, even unborn children?
Yeah, well, so I detail the story of this this migrant who became a coyote. He was an impoverished child in Oaxaca. He was abandoned by his parents, and once his grandfather died, he only had two choices. One was to stay and possibly face starvation, and the other was to go. He heads north, and he just ends up on the border like so many migrants do, and they don't know these cities. These are big, sprawling, sometimes daunting places for migrants, and he was the rare guy who somehow adapted, and he realized this idea of getting across via bicycle. Well, he just happened to meet the very people who could help him do that and who could help him scale his business. And amongst these people was a woman named Marta, who he fell in love with. And she was basically his key to building this business. They fell in love. It was, by all accounts, a very real thing. They had children, but had a child, but then tragedy strikes. And I don't want to I don't think I want to tip my hand here,
okay,
but
sure,
it changes
no
the coyote's world.
Okay. So for you to be able to, you know, again going back, I keep going back to trust because, again, you know, as I was reading this book, I mean, it's, you know, you feel as though you really get to know them throughout the book. And I think, too, for you, I was curious as to what that was like for you, Campbell, to go from this all beginning with tires and then finding out about bicycles. And then finding out about how the bicycles got to where they were and the individuals, of course, that were riding the bicycles and the stories. I mean, how do you feel as though that affected you at the end?
Well, you know, I just I was caught up in those questions that I mentioned earlier. How did those bicycles get there? Where were they going? Where had they come from? And once I'd researched where they went into the United States, because they bled back into our society in the most incredible and interesting ways. Mm-hmm. But once I thought that I'd reached the end in the U.S., I had to find out what was going on in Mexico, how they had been collected and how they had been crossed. And in hindsight, it was naive, and that question helped me out because some of my contacts who by all rights shouldn't have talked to me because they're involved in illegal enterprises, they said, you know, we saw that wonder in your eyes, you know, and they got caught up in these questions too. They got caught up in this story. They had no idea where the bicycles had gone in the United States. They had no idea where they had come from. And just it was kind of a joint storytelling effort.
The main reason I asked you that question is because how you kind of close off the book. I think for anyone to be able to have their story told is a thing that is appreciated, mainly because light is a universal thing I have found, Campbell, for myself and I think for our audiences out there, is people like to know that they matter, that their story matters, that who they are matters. I mean, talk to us about that aspect and the letter and how that affected you to know that, you know, here you were someone who people may not have trusted, but that because you were willing to open yourself up and to be open, that they were allowed to share a part of who they were as individuals.
Oh, that's quite true, your intuition there, because, you know, by the time I'd caught a hold of the tale of this story, a lot of these people had moved on in their lives, and they didn't stand aside to see how important their story was. And so when I started asking them questions, sometimes quite often there was a reticence to talk, and even the main character, El Indio, he did not think his story was important. Even though he crossed what some say was 7,000 people on bicycles in a very short span, he didn't think that was an important story to tell. And it wasn't until we got into the weeds and talked to all the other characters that he realized that it was an important story. And I think that's true for a lot of these characters. They you know, people are just living their lives and they don't realize that there's very important facets that, I don't know, I think would illuminate issues for other people.
Right. And I think that is the thing, which brings me to this point. Speaking of someone asking a lot of questions, you know, I mean, for yourself, after being able to chronicle this story, what was your hope for us as the reader, as we were able to discover the Coyote's bicycles, able to discover, you know, this mystery and to kind of go throughout this book with you? What was your hope that that we, after we finished it, would be able to take away?
Well, you know, I said that I didn't go into this with any kind of political bent, and that's true. But after finishing the book, I realized that the debate in the United States about migration is just kind of faceless. You don't see the people or know the names of the people who are involved. It's just kind of this this abstracted conversation, and I was hoping people would see the landscape, because geography is critical to this issue. I was hoping people would relate with some of the causes that spur people to migrate. I was just hoping to put a face on it.
Right. And I think you've done just that. And I think the stories, you know, are definitely powerful. And I think, too, as I mentioned a couple times in this conversation with you, Kibble, some of these things are universal, I think. You know, I think, you know, we get so caught up on an us against them or us versus someone else. But really all of us are just trying to figure this thing called life out. And I think to be able to exist with one another, to be able, you know, to learn from one another. And I think, you know, to realize, as I mentioned earlier, being able to appreciate one another and understanding that everyone's journey is different, everyone's struggle is different, and we never know what we would do in order to, you know, to save ourselves or our family. And I think that's one of the big things that comes across for me in the book, for sure. The book is available through our friends at Amazon.com. Again, the book is called The Coyote's Bicycle. It, again, is written by Kimball Taylor, The Untold Story of 7,000 Bicycles and the Rise of a Borderland Empire. We didn't talk much about the Borderland Empire. That is another fascinating side of this story, Kimball, so we will leave that for our audience to be able to find out for themselves. How can our audience stay connected with you, though, and keep up what's coming up next for you?
Well, if they want to check out my website, KimballTaylor.com, they can find other pieces I've written and continuing stories of what I've written here in The Coyote's Bicycle.
Do you find that your natural fascination for things, because again, as you mentioned in this conversation, Kimball, this all began with tires. Do you think that is one of the things that will keep you searching for answers to some of the mysteries that are out there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm just a sucker for synchronicity, you know, irony, stories that wheel back on your starting point. And that's what got me caught up in this story. So yeah. I'm sure it'll happen again.
Well, we will definitely be looking out for the next book from you, for sure. Again, everyone, Kimball Taylor has been our guest. Thank you so much for stopping by, Kimball. And it goes without saying, you're welcome back here anytime. Looking forward to having you back.
Well, thank you very much, Cyrus. I appreciate it.
Hey, we appreciate the time. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Kimball, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media network. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. I've already tagged Kimball both on Facebook and Twitter to make it easy for you guys to find him there. Just click on that link, listen to the show completely for free, and share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.